the words in Psalm 22 and at verse 6. I am a worm and no man. A reproach of men and despised of the people speaks of how a person might feel when they have sinned and let other people down. But the expression, I am a worm and no man, speaks of how he would appear in the sight of the Lord. A worm is trodden underfoot, a worm is thought nothing of. It does do something useful in the earth, it turns the earth over. But the picture here is obviously of something that's always trodden on, not esteemed as to have any value. It's not something you would make a pet of or anything like that. A worm is something so insignificant, so small in the created order, that for a man who is the highest of the created order to be likening himself to a worm is in a sense the ultimate disgrace, the ultimate shame. Now, this was how David felt about himself. For all his great gifts, and of course he was loved by the Lord, he had major failings. And they were major failings of a despicable kind. Let me refer you to 2 Samuel chapter 6. And you remember the story, I'm sure. I'll only read it a little bit. But 2 Samuel 6 verse 6. They were rescuing the ark, you remember. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased, because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day, and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? David was displeased at God's dealings. He thought he was pleasing God by what he was doing. And he was particularly offended by being in the middle of doing that. He'd caused the death of one of the priests. God was angry. David was displeased, and David was afraid. And yet no man can be displeased with the arrangements of God and not feel in some way unclean, inadequate, out of joint. No man can run counter to the express instructions of God and be displeased that God has insisted, even unto death, upon his way. We know David reflected upon that. The rest of the chapter tells us. And then, of course, there is the whole matter of David and Bathsheba. And this made him feel like a worm. Now, David was a good general, and he was a good soldier. But for some reason, he'd opted not to go to the battle and left it in charge of his very competent General Joab. Of course, the devil finds work, as we say, for idle hands to do. He ought to have been at the battle. And he, instead, he looks where he shouldn't look. And he commits the sin of adultery. And as a result of that, a child was on its way. You can imagine, can't you, when you have an accident on the road, especially if you know it, you've done badly, that you flee the scene or do a hit and run and drive. We hate it. The whole force of the law is thrown against somebody who does that. But you can understand. I've made a terrible mess. I ruined somebody's life. I'm going to run. David made things much worse. He sent a message to Joab, and surely there would have been long enough in the message getting there and Joab's reply for him to have repented of what he was doing. But he sent a message to Joab to get Bathsheba's husband home from the battle. And so he was sent. But what David had in mind was that he would go home to his wife, and amidst all the confusion, the fact that people weren't calculating, everybody would think that the baby was Uzzah's. That was his idea. And I think the worm side in particular is this, that his loyal soldier servant behaved much better than he did. David intended that he should go and die with his wife. Instead of that, he lay by the door with the servants. When David said, "Why didn't you do as I said and go there?" He said, "Well, how could I? The ark is in the field, the general's in the field, my companions are in the field. They're all roughing it. I can't go and have luxury." Don't know how that made David feel. So he tried a second night. And then he resorted to having him made drunk, so that he wouldn't know what he was doing. And then, because that was not going to be the way, he sent Uzzah back to the battlefield with an instruction to Joab to make sure that he stood where he was most likely to get killed. In fact, he was murdered, effectively, wasn't he? And so David not only committed adultery, not only acted shamefully, but added to it murder. And you can understand how it is in the psalm, reflecting upon these things, as he says, "I am a worm and no man." He was king. And how many of his subjects would have behaved as badly as he? And maybe a sinner may feel that I am a worm because if other people knew the things that I thought or the things that I've done, they wouldn't have nothing to do with me. But of course, David was all public. He was trying to keep it under, but he wasn't. He felt he had disgraced his manhood and perhaps manhood in general. And then when he came to thinking about previous generations, he said, well, Lord, you answered their prayers, but you don't answer mine. It's because I don't count. It's because I've disqualified myself. It's because I am a worm and no man. My predecessors were fine. Well, they weren't all, in fact. But he was feeling that way about himself, about his sin. And it is a very common reflection that when you've lived sufficiently long enough to reflect back over your life and where you've got and what you've achieved and everything else, that you may come to the conclusion, I am a worm and no man. Of course, Psalm 22 is about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's about the Lord Jesus Christ at a certain time of his life when he was on the cross of Calvary. The Lord Jesus is described as a man of grief, a man of sorrows, but he also was a perfect man. How can he be described in this psalm which David writes, but he doesn't write it about himself, only from his own perspective, but the Spirit takes him to describe the Lord Jesus Christ 1,000 years before he was born. But how can we say, how can the Lord say, I am a worm and no man? He says, my strength is dried up. He speaks, they pierced my hands and my feet. I may look at my bones and count them, and everybody stares at me. They part my garments. All these things happen to the Lord Jesus. So why should this verse, I am a worm and no man, be thought to be anything different about the Saviour's experience? But the Lord is perfect. He is perfectly man, perfectly God, without sin. No man spake like this man, they said. No man raised the dead other than he. Surely, as Nicodemus said, no one could do these things if God was not with him. How is it that the Saviour could say, I am a worm and no man? He hadn't done any of the things that David did, or that we do. He said it, and it was true, because all our sins were laid upon him. It was that brought him low. All the sins that all of his people had ever committed were laid upon him. And if you can say that all sins are shameful, but clearly when you look at the sins of David, some sins are more shameful and have a more debilitating effect upon you than others. that Paul says in his letter, such were some of you, when he was talking about those who've been saved by the gospel from homosexuality. But those who reflect on the positions where they defile their manhood, their personhood, their widowhood, as well as all the other sins that could be committed, cause a reflective person to say, I am a worm and no man. And that's where the Lord Jesus is so wonderful to us. For such sins were laid upon him who was without sin, so that he was a worm and no man for people like us. Now, he was undoubtedly a reproach of men, undoubtedly despised by the people. They said to him, he trusted the Lord that he would deliver him. Well, let him deliver him now if it's really true that he delights in him. But of course, the Lord Jesus didn't come down from the cross, as he couldn't complete his atoning work. So they might say they're justified. They laugh Jesus to scorn. That's what people do when they see somebody brought low. How many people turned up to watch the crucifixion? How many people used to turn up in this country, and still do in some, to watch public executions, to see people made shameful, to see people brought low? And the Saviour was made a worm and was made no man for the sins of his people. And therefore, he is a wonderful Saviour to turn to. When people think that I'm too bad to be saved, nobody knows my sins but the Lord knows my heart, and my sins are terrible, I don't deserve to be saved. See, that's got under the skin. None of us deserves to be saved, but there are certain sins that make a person think in his heart, I don't deserve to be saved, I couldn't possibly be saved. And the Saviour comes to save even the most despicable people from their despicable sins. And he comes to save from every sin and to deliver you from any believer, any sinner who comes to the Lord, to deliver them from anything which has undermined their trust in the Lord. Now, sin separates us from God. When we do these things within the body of our flesh, then we do feel very much that we've put ourselves out of the pale. Some sins are worse than others. All have to be resisted, and we didn't resist. So the Lord Jesus takes upon himself our nature. Not himself being sinful, but bears the sin and the guilt of the wretchedness of men and women. And therefore, however deep in the personality it runs, however much it's formed the character, however much the sin has insidiously eroded the character within, however much a desperation has been brought into a life, the Lord has been made a worm and no man in the bearing of the sins of such as come to him, whose sins are like that. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And there is nothing that man would see in him that would draw him to them in particular. But those who have sinned grievously, and those whose sins have separated them not only from God, but also from man, as it did with Zacchaeus, for example, they find such delight when the Saviour calls them, when they see that the Saviour cares for them, and he alone has the authority to forgive sin and to save. David then reflected the position of men and women with their different sins when he said, "I am a worm and no man." The Lord Jesus declared himself to be a worm and no man in the words of this psalm, because it was the sins of every believer that he bore in his body on Calvary. Therefore, each sinner may become a believer by turning to him and pleading with such a Saviour that the blood of his atoning power should be applied to him. No sin is too great for the Lord Jesus to cover. And if that sin, as it did with Zacchaeus, who wasn't considered by anybody to be other than a traitor and a cheat, if that sin is healed by the Lord Jesus Christ, then that's why he died. And that's why he was nailed to the cross. None of us is saved in any other way. The extent of our sins, of course, may differ entirely. But the spirit of an individual knowing that their sins have made them unworthy of Christ, and as they said of Paul, unworthy to live. Why does he cumber the earth? But anyone who even feels remotely like that may turn in safety to such a Saviour as our Lord Jesus Christ is.